Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late. All the sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well will be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. They built you a temple and locked you away. Ah, but they never told you the price that you pay. The things that you might have.
Hi, everyone, and thank you so much for joining me today on Ask the Blood Detective. For those of you new to the show, my name is Dr. Michael Wald, and I'm the Supervisor of Nutrition at Integrated Nutrition of Mount Kisco. That's my holistic health center located in Mount Kisco, New York, about an hour north or so of New York City. So you know, if you're a regular listener to Ask the Blood Detective, that my main intention in all of the show topics, the whole theme of what I do here with you, is to have you become your own personal blood detective. That's a fancy way of saying for you to become the most proficient healthcare consumer you can be, or healthcare advocate, not just for yourself, but for those in your life that you love. There's so much information out there on health and healing. And today's topic, by the way, is we're going to be talking about a handful or so of nutritional supplements that actually do help the body gain health by burning fat, and also helping the body retain what's referred to as lean body mass. So as your own personal blood detective with this sort of knowledge, you can simply choose better, smarter among the different healthcare and particularly the nutritional supplement suggestions that you make. Now, of course, diet is of paramount importance when it comes to not just weight loss, but maintaining a very healthy body weight. Now, beyond body weight, you might imagine, there is our percentage of muscle in our body and lean body mass, which is all of the organs. And then there's a percentage of fat, and there's a percentage of water. Now, there's a device that I use, which is called a bioimpedance test. It's a non-invasive. It uses some electrode pads. And what those pads do is it measures in the body your percentage of muscle, water, and fat exactly. Also, it'll tell me how much water is in your cells and outside of your cells. The water balance in and outside of your cells, by the way, is a very strong predictor of disease risk. Not only that, but no matter what health path you take, whether you use meditation or yoga, or you eat a vegan diet or a macrobiotic diet, or whatever you're doing, you're taking supplements, etc., if your efforts do not increase lean body mass, you are not likely extending what's known as the non-disability stage of your life. In other words, living better, not necessarily simply longer. But I'm convinced from my 27 years of experience in the natural healthcare field is that the amount of medical and nutritional literature out there supports this, my experience with individual patients, and my own personal health as a 51-year-old man who can run marathons and 7.5-minute miles and lifts weights and basically does whatever I want, is that you absolutely can make a difference in your longevity and the quality of your life. Now, today's topic will be a focus on around 4 or 5, possibly even 6, depending on the emails I'm receiving from you during the show and what we decide to answer there, is how these particular products can enhance the effects of whatever else you're doing health-wise. So I'm not going to talk today so much about the benefits and the dietary methods for weight loss, weight maintenance, and how you can promote an excellent lean body mass, because I've done that on other shows, and I'll probably do that on other shows in the future. So you can look at my show on different dietary plans. I review several of them, ones that have to do with hormonal imbalance, others that have to do with inflammation control, detoxification, the list goes on and on. But these particular supplements are not only good for weight management, and I mean idealized lean body mass relative to very low fat mass, but they promote health in many other fairly astounding ways, actually. Now, before I start to explain these particular nutritional supplement approaches one by one, I want to remind you of what I've said in other shows regarding the body composition test. That's the test where we apply electrodes to the hand and foot. A mild current is sent through the body. And because the density of lean body mass and fat and water is different, obviously, right? Different densities. A mild electric current will go through those tissues at a different rate. And then the machine and the computer extrapolates your exact percentage, exactly, of muscle, water, and fat. The amounts, by the way, the milligrams or the gram amounts, whatever you're taking in terms of nutritional supplements and even your foods, if you were to base them proportionately on your body's percentage of muscle, water, and fat, your health efforts would be far, far more significant, and they'd be longevity promoting. Well, how can I say that? Well, the gerontologists, the aging specialists at Tufts University, and of course other places, have looked at a variety of tests. And you know, I'm a blood detective, so I can't help but mention something about tests in each and every show. But the bioimpedance test is number one on the list of biomarkers. That means tests that help predict morbidity, mortality, and health span. So mortality, obviously, is death rate and chance of dying. Morbidity refers to the quality of one's life. How do you feel? And longevity is a general term referring to the overall quality of your life and how long you live in the non-disability stage where you can do things. Now, the body composition test is the number one predictor, as I just said, of morbidity and mortality. So that means that every single supplement you take, every single bit of exercise that you do, everything that you put in your mouth should, if you're interested in living a healthier life, which clearly you are, must favorably affect the percentages of muscle, water, fat in the body, such that as you go through life and get older, you do not have a declining lean body mass, but with not so much effort, and including the supplements I'll be speaking about today, that you can increase your lean body mass. Think of it this way. You've had practitioners, doctors review your blood work with you, right? You know, your cholesterol, your glucose, your chloride levels, your red blood cells, white blood cells, your platelets, kidney function, liver function, thyroid testing, all those very fundamental things. Now, the results of your blood tests are the results of how your organs work, right? That's why we look at blood tests. We want to know how organs work. Organs, folks, are composed of lean body mass. So, listen to this. It's really key. If you improve, let's say, abnormal blood tests by taking certain medications, if those medications, or by the way, those supplements for that matter, that diet for that matter, if that diet, supplements, and medications, if they do not improve your lean body mass in addition to fixing your blood work, then that is not likely a longevity improvement. If, on the other hand, you eat a certain way, you take certain supplements, you may use certain medications to fix your cholesterol or what have you, doesn't matter what. If you do that and you're increasing and or improving your lean body mass, that is what you need. So you can have one person on the one hand that's using medications, nutrients, or foods, and the biochemical changes resulting improve the body's retention of lean body mass. That is a longevity promoting effect. But if another individual does the same thing and does not improve their lean body mass, they have not improved their longevity. Why? Because longevity is proportionate to improvements in lean body mass, and lean body mass is measured by a bioimpedance test, which is also known as a body composition test. And lastly, a body composition test is the most important, it's number one on the list of biomarkers in terms of longevity. I've done shows on biomarkers, and practically every show I've mentioned a few different ones, key ones that you'll want to have tested from time to time to make sure that they're improving. Many people that I see, for some reason, believe that if they're feeling well, they're actually well. You know, I felt well when I was 18, and then days later, I had multiple sclerosis symptoms. Or a person can feel fine at one moment, and the next moment they have a stroke. Every abnormality on a blood test or any other sort of test didn't just, generally speaking, just pop up in a few moments or even a few days. There's been a gradual decline in the ability of the body to maintain itself. That's called resiliency. So when the body's resiliency starts to fail, things start to go wrong internally. And the body attempts to compensate through its resiliency. And eventually, when it cannot compensate, then what you have is breakdown. When the body's breakdown exceeds the buildup, that's when you have disease. But before there's disease that you know about, or you've had, God forbid, some stroke or something, there is that decompensation that occurs, that loss in resiliency that may be under the surface, you don't know, and then boom, all of a sudden, something's wrong. The supplements that I'm going to talk about right now are some that have been approved to offset the degenerative process through a number of mechanisms, a number of different fascinating ways. And also, they help keep your fat mass low. The more lean body mass you have, the less fat mass you will generally have. And the reason for that is because lean body mass is where your metabolic rate lives. So the more lean body mass, the higher your metabolic rate, and the more effectively your body can burn fats, thereby reducing the amount of fats on your body, the percentage. Relative to your lean body mass, that's exactly what you want to do, ultimately, for every single health endeavor. So let's talk about supplements. So the first one is called MCTs, medium chain triglycerides, as opposed to long chain triglycerides. And MCTs are found in most foods. Now, I'm guessing that everyone listening today has heard all about coconut oil, right? You can't escape coconut oil. And I don't have any problems with coconut oil. The main health benefits of coconut oil are thought to be from its concentration of medium chain triglycerides. Coconut oil generally contains about 25% medium chain triglycerides. I do not recommend coconut oil to people for serious health issues. You can have it, it's not damaging in any way, but when I want to increase someone's body content of medium chain triglycerides, you know what I do? I give them medium chain triglycerides, because the medium chain triglycerides, or MCTs, are 100% medium chain triglycerides. Now, for those of you who are wondering, oh my goodness, will medium chain triglycerides increase my triglyceride levels in my blood? The answer is no. That has nothing to do with it. There are many exciting studies, and also my clinical experience has shown me that medium chain triglycerides are excellent fat burners. Now, the thing you need to know about MCTs, medium chain triglycerides, is that they're made of specific types of fatty acids, and they're known as caprylic and capric fatty acids. And they give the MCT oil a light, yellow, odorless, and very translucent appearance. I should mention too that the MCT oil, besides being a natural component of coconut oil and many other foods, they've even added it to infant formulas without even knowing how healthy it was. It was just added for more calories. Yes, it does provide calories. It is a healthy fat, but don't let that panic you, because MCT oils increase your metabolic rate far more than the calories that they provide you. The type of calories matter. I mean, I don't think anyone listening now would argue that there's a difference between 100 calories from ice cream as opposed to 100 calories from broccoli. So just keep that in mind. We've all been so conditioned to think of calories as the same thing, just like we think of all blood fats as the same thing, right? There's LDL cholesterol, that's a fat that's bad, and then there's HDL, that's essentially good. So MCT is a super healthy oil. It's even used in the critical care centers, in hospitals, often when you have individuals who are wasting away from digestive and other types of cancers. MCT oil is put in the central line for nutrition in a person. And also, you know, bodybuilders and athletes in particular, they've known all about MCT oils for years. They know that it enhances fat burning. It spares the lean body tissue. So when you eat the oils, your body burns that and it produces what's called a thermogenic effect. And that's an internal heat effect that burns fats. And you get that lean body mass that I've been harping about this whole show so far and how important that lean body mass is. You don't want to lose any of it. So here's what happens. So when MCTs are absorbed in your bloodstream, they completely bypass the regular digestive process that the longer chain fats go through. Because remember, the MCTs are medium chain triglycerides or medium chain fats. They're not long chain fats. So because the MCTs bypass the digestive process, they provide very, very quick energy for the body. So this is another reason why I use this and other and athletes and my patients who need energy. It's not going to be an instant change in energy, but after several days, most people do report to me they have an energetic change. MCTs are very well absorbed, even in the worst absorbers. Now, as a little sort of clinical point here, you should be aware that if you take MCT oils, and let's say you have some digestive upset from it, sometimes a little bit of loose stool, maybe some cramping, and you might also have that same sort of reaction or a similar reaction to when you have fish oil, that is telling you something. That's telling you that you probably need more fat digestive enzymes. So the lipase enzymes. The very last show that I did, folks, was an hour all about enzymes. And everything you know about enzymes, I can summarize in 10 seconds. One, they help digestion, they help digestion, they help digestion. That's pretty much what people know about them. But there are so many other health-enhancing effects of enzymes. You've got to listen to that show. So back to the MCTs. If you take MCT oil, and generally I'll start a person with a tablespoon per day, and with that, they take it at any point during the day. I like for a person to take it in the morning before breakfast. If you should have any stomach upset at all, then you'd want to consider taking some of those enzymes. All of the products I'll be speaking about today, by the way, you could research, you could purchase from my website at blooddetective.com if you want. Some of these, if not most, are probably commercially available too, but at least you know with me, you're going to get pharmaceutical grade supplementation. You know, I cannot help but digress for a moment about MCTs to tell you something else you must know. You know, first of all, I was in Florida less than 2 weeks ago. And I was part of a nursing training program. And in these nursing home hospital facilities and in the hospitals, it seemed like a third to half of the people had some level of dementia or outright Alzheimer's disease. You need to know that MCTs have been clinically studied to offset and possibly improve memory. One of the reasons why MCTs can do that is because the MCT MCT oils produce ketones, so they're ketogenic. Ketogenic acids are the building block fuel for repair and stability of the brain and the rest of the nervous system, the spinal cord and the nerves coming off the spinal cord called the peripheral nervous system. Any neurological condition, I can't think of a single one, a single exception to this rule, could potentially benefit and has been studied to benefit from MCT oils. I dose the amount of MCT oils and the other supplements that I've said that I'll be talking about, as I said earlier, based on body composition, but a generally good starting dose for MCT oil would be one tablespoon, but I will sometimes go as high as 2 tablespoons twice a day, whether it's multiple sclerosis, whether it's Alzheimer's dementia, or simply just memory loss, neuropathy, whether it's from diabetic neuropathy or discogenic or arthritic disease that's associated with pain and discomfort, anything nervous system, think MCT oil. Now, the other interesting thing about MCT oil is it does not the lymphatic system, and medium triglycerides are directly shunted to the liver where they're metabolized, releasing energy like a carbohydrate would do, and creates lots of ketones. And again, these ketones are used for fuel. You know, let me give you just a little bit of biochemistry here. You know, conventional dietary fats that you find in foods, the long chain triglycerides are called LCTs. They have a certain length of carbon atoms to them, between 16 and 22 carbon lengths to make them a long chain as opposed to the medium chain fats. So that's the same type of fat stored in your body, the long chain fats. Now the MCT fats, they're only 6 to 12 carbons. They are medium size compared to the long ones. The difference in the molecular structure is the very reason why MCT oil behaves very differently in the body than conventional fats do. You know, since the average body is around 70% water, and by the way, fats are not very soluble. They don't mix well with water. Your body has to go through a very elaborate digestive process to absorb and metabolize fats. The gallbladder produces bile to help dissolve long-chain fats, generating very little fat droplets. And cells in the intestine make a protein molecule to help transport the triglyceride portion of fats. Now, here's what I'm getting at. So these tiny little fat droplets that are produced in the body from the fats in your diet, they circulate throughout the body. And then insulin causes the fat cells, which are called adipocytes, to absorb the fat molecules and store them as body fat. But MCTs have a smaller molecular structure. They're much more stable, much more soluble in water. So therefore, they're a lot easier for the body to absorb. They don't require a complicated digestive process. So here's the difference, folks. Conventional fats that you eat, they're much more prone to be stored as fats in your body, but MCT goes right from the small intestines to the liver, and then the liver forms the ketone bodies, which the body uses as energy. So MCTs produce a profound thermogenesis or thermogenic effect in the body, producing a lot of ATP. That's this chemical your body makes to push metabolic rate and also to repair the nervous system. So those are the main things I want to say about MCTs. So in summary, if you take MCTs, you'd want to take them in an oil form. I would start with about a tablespoon of MCT oil taken away from foods the first thing before breakfast. And ideally, probably you'd want to have them in your belly about 15 or so minutes before breakfast. And if you can't do that, it's not so convenient. It shouldn't be a real big factor. If you are overweight, though, you probably want to increase your MCT oil by at least another half of a tablespoon, if not 2 tablespoons. And in that case, I take 1 tablespoon in the morning and another tablespoon right before bed, because your body burns fat very effectively when you sleep. So if it has a good supply of MCT oils, you're good to go. If you have any sort of gastrointestinal intolerance to the MCTs, a little bit of cramping, a little bit of stool, well, most of us are constipated anyway, that wouldn't be a terrible thing. You just cut back on the oil, maybe by a half of a tablespoon at a time. Just titrate it yourself. Or you may want to add my detox absorb enzymes, one or two of those per meal a day helps you digest your foods better because they're enzymes, and also will help break down the MCT oils even further. Now, since we've been talking about ketones, let's digress to my second pick of a nutritional supplement. You know, supplements have concentrated forms of things, so they have pharmacologic effects potentially. So I put together something called a Keto Raspberry Supreme. And just two capsules of this contains 300 milligrams of raspberry ketone powder. Now, I'm just going to mention quickly that when you mix raspberry ketone powder along with a little bit of green tea leaf, around 200 milligrams, you get a synergistic effect of the keto raspberries. So raspberry ketones, first of all, they're natural compounds. They're what give raspberries their delicious aroma. And when ketones are extracted from raspberries, they can be highly concentrated and produce effects that would only be equaled if one were to eat a couple of bowls of raspberries a day. And I'm not saying you shouldn't, because we all know that raspberries are among the most healthy types of fruits. The amount of phytonutrition that has been studied for anti-inflammatory effects in various types of raspberries, immune modulating effects, detoxification, hormonal balancing effects, are extreme and very, very exciting. So here's what I would tell you about raspberry ketones. About 200 milligrams a day of raspberry ketones do tend to show that after as little as even 4 weeks, there is fat burning enhancement. Now, if you take raspberry ketones along with about 200 milligrams of green tea leaf, which is about a 50% extract concentration. I've already combined this for you in my Keto Raspberry Supreme product. You should get an even better effect. And if thirdly, you add what I would choose, a buffered powdered vitamin C at about 1200 milligrams, there's better fat burning in around 4 weeks. I use Detox Eliminate, which is my buffered vitamin C, because most people are too acidic in the wrong places. So they want a buffered form of C, along with Keto Raspberry Supreme. Now, once again, I want to tell you, this is my disclaimer here. I do not believe in the use of supplements alone for health and weight loss. But this is a show focusing on some key nutritional supplement compounds, just so we're clear about that. So there are several studies that show that the raspberry ketones speed up the body's fat-burning action. That's what I referred to earlier as thermogenesis. And probably the major compound that does this produces a hormone which breaks down a fat cells a bit faster. And it does that especially in the liver. So this generally helps people lose weight a lot faster. And again, maintaining that lean body mass, particularly if you combine it with MCT oils. You can get the same benefit, obviously, by eating, you know, whole fruit, but you'd have to consume, you know, somewhere about around 90 pounds of raspberries or foods that contain ketones to get the same effect as the concentrated nutrients. Now, if you pair up raspberry ketones, MCTs, the vitamin C, along with an ideal diet for you and regular exercise, you're going to lose weight a whole lot faster. There was a Korean study actually in 2010 that showed that the stimulation of lipolysis, that's the process of fat burning, can suppress the accumulation of fat on the body and help offset obesity. So what you need to know is that raspberry ketones work by eliminating and decreasing the fat storage in the body, and they enhance metabolic rate. So once again, I like to do body compositions on people, bioimpedance testing to figure out right doses, but if we were just to start a person on a reasonable amount of my Keto Raspberry Supreme formula, it would be two capsules twice a day. Now move on to my third pick for fat burning and the maintenance of lean body mass and improvement of overall general health. If you've noticed, every single thing I've discussed so far, MCT oils, my Keto Raspberry Supreme concentrated formula, buffered vitamin C, all of these different things, probiotics I'm about to talk about, have a wide range of significant health potential in the body. So probiotics, as everyone listening knows, are live bugs. They're live microorganisms. I have a product that I call superbugs because they are superbugs in a good sense of the word. And they have lots of benefits when you consume them beyond the diet. So you can get the probiotics, obviously, in fermented foods, and you can get them in nutritional supplements. The supplements are going to be far more stable if they're pharmaceutical grade. Many patients that I see are under the mistaken impression that if they have yogurt, or even if they ferment yogurt themselves, that that's going to satisfy all of their probiotic needs. But generally speaking, it won't even come close, particularly if someone has any significant health issue. And again, probiotics help all kinds of health problems, not just gut problems. Generally speaking, to have pharmacologic effects in serious or chronic health problems, you need probiotics in the billions of bugs, not the millions, and certainly not in the thousands. And the thousands is what you get in foods, if you get any at all. So the studies are so numerous in terms of the potential benefits of probiotics for digestive health, obviously, like inflammatory bowel disease, irritable bowel syndrome, all kinds of gut problems, heart health, and immune function. Those are just a couple of things. But since probiotics promote gut health, and since 70% of one's immune system is in the intestinal tract, since our absorption of nutrients in the digestive tract, probiotics are really the gateway supplements. As far as I'm concerned, they're one of the first things you need to think of for your health and well-being, because the gut will affect every other area in the body. What's so very interesting about probiotics is that, well, there are hundreds of different types of microorganisms in your digestive tract right now, and the majority are bacteria, which are friendly. We're assuming, and friendly bugs have they can produce several important key nutrients in the body. You might know that probiotics help the body produce B vitamins in the gut and also vitamin K. Now, for those of you who are on Coumadin or aspirin, you need to be careful and monitored if you're taking probiotics, because probiotics produce vitamin K, and vitamin K helps control the body's clotting mechanism, and aspirin and Coumadin, otherwise known as warfarin, are blood thinners. So you might have a conflict there. It's probably safe, and I can't say this statement is true for you specifically. You need to consult with your healthcare provider. But if you've been taking probiotics for a significant period of time, 6 months or more, I would say, prior to beginning aspirin or Coumadin, you actually want to stay on your probiotic. You don't want to discontinue. Some doctors make that mistake. So the thing to know is that there have been both animal studies and human studies that have shown that persons with so-called normal weight have very different gut bacteria than people who are obese or just people who are overweight. And without getting into too much biochemical detail, some of these studies show that people with weight issues have different types of chemicals and different types of bugs than people of normal weight. So basically what I'm saying is that the gut bacteria in the people that are overweight is very different from people that are lean. So fundamentally, what I'm saying is that there are several lines of evidence that strongly suggest that the bugs in your gut have very powerful effects upon your weight. Let's talk about a probiotic bug that you've definitely heard of, the Lactobacillus family, okay? So probiotics help offset weight gain in a couple of ways. The probiotics help release a certain chemical that is appetite reducing. It's called hormone GLP-1, and increased levels of that hormone help you burn calories and fat. And probiotics also increase the production of a specific protein called ANGPTL4. Say that three times fast, but I'll say it one more time for those of you writing this down. That protein is called ANGPTL4. And the higher your level of protein ANGPTL4, the lower one's general fat storage in the body. There's also tons of evidence to link overweight and obesity to inflammation in the brain of all places. So if you improve your gut health with probiotics, you reduce what's known as systemic inflammation. That helps protect against not just overweight and obesity, but all sorts of other diseases. And once again, a common misconception is that all probiotics are the same. That is just not true. So my Superbugs formula, for example, just one tiny capsule contains 100 billion CFUs. CFUs refers to the unit of measurement. In my opinion, you do not want to be taking probiotics that do not use the standard measurement, because those measurements have to do with viability, the ability of probiotics to work in CFU units. So one capsule of my Superbugs gives 100 billion bugs, and it's got 4 different strains of lactobacillus that are very, very important, along with 2 strains of what's called bifidobacterium. So the combination of these 6 probiotics all together in a single capsule, about 100 billion, is my starting point when I work on healthy weight and more importantly, folks, healthy body composition. We want a healthy body composition. We want a healthy ratio of muscle, water, and fats. So the individual who is of normal weight, I would have them take, and they don't have any gut issues or other problems that suggest to me they may need more probiotics, I just put them on a single capsule of probiotics. Now, here's something you may not have heard before, and I discuss this on my show, Everything Probiotics. You might want to listen to that one, because there's stuff about probiotics you got to know if you want to maximize your longevity. But I would start out with, so here's the thing. You take probiotics with a protein, because when you eat probiotics with a protein, the dose you take is almost equivalent to doubling the dose in terms of potential effects. So having probiotics with a protein food enhances their effects. Which type of protein? It probably doesn't matter much. Whey protein has been specifically studied, but I've seen it in other types of proteins. I like rice and pea combinations of protein. You know, there's this one study that shows that lactobacillus from the diet reduces body fat by about 3 to 4% over just 6 weeks. So, you know, 3 to 4% may not sound like a lot, but when you're getting a certain percentage from Superbugs probiotic, you're getting a certain percentage of thermogenic fat burning enhancement from my MCT oil, and then you add Keto Raspberry Supreme to a diet that, you know, is based on your needs. So if you have hormonal issues causing weight gain, you need a hormone balancing diet plan along with, let's say, these or other supplements. If your weight gain is from toxicity, then you need that particular type of food plan with these sorts of supplements. You might have a combination of malabsorption and other types of inflammatory problems. Whatever your issues are, you need what you need for your needs in terms of diet. So when I talk about eating a balanced or healthy diet, that really needs to be quantified. What does that mean for each person? As a blood detective, as your own personal blood detective, you need to figure out, which you can do through questionnaires and a very thorough interview with a well-trained nutritionist, along with nutritional and or medical interpretation of your testing. Find out what your needs are. There's way too much generalization out there when we need personalized suggestions for people. I have individuals seeing me every day with their big bags of supplements, wondering why their health problems are still there. They say to me, I think I'm healthy. I know I eat right. I take all these supplements. What's going on? You need to know how much and if you need certain things. It's pretty much common sense when you think about it. If you're doing something that really seems right on the surface, that looks healthy on paper and it's not working, well, guess what? It's not right for you, period. It's no different than what I tell people who report to me with copies of lab tests that they've said, Dr. Wald, my doctor said my tests are fine, but I've got brain fog. I can't lose the weight. I'm in discomfort. I've got this health problem. My cholesterol's too high. My thyroid is this. And he or she, my doctor, is telling me my tests are normal. And I say to them, well, you likely need a new normal. And this is a book, by the way, I'm working on for release next year, The New Normal. And this, again, is obviously true when you step back for a moment. If your blood work looks great, if your laboratory tests look fantastic and you're not feeling well, then you need a different fantastic. When I, and I've said this before on my show, when I look at my laboratory work and tests, I do not want them normal for a 51-year-old man. I want them normal for an athletic 20-year-old man. And I push my chemistry in that area. That is my goal. I may not get everything there with either myself or with a patient, but like any goal in life, the higher you shoot, the more likely you're going to get there, or at least somewhere along that path, higher, better, more potential for health benefit than if you settle for normal. You know, laboratory tests are based on the average man or woman in your age range. So when your doctor says to you your blood work is normal, what they're not telling you, but they know, is that that's normal compared to average men and women of your age. The average man or woman is not particularly healthy. As we grow older and our chemistry starts to shift differently towards dis-ease and then disease and then eventual death, those have become the new normal ranges on average that you're compared to. So I certainly look at those ranges. They have significant meaning, no doubt. But that's why I run my blood detective nutritional reports on people based on research that I've done of more optimized ranges of many blood tests. Now, it's true that if I compare someone to healthier, I'm going to have more abnormalities show up, but they're going to help reveal to me potentially some areas that I can focus on that might help you find your new normal. And remember, as I've been saying, my friends, whatever your new normal is, whatever your efforts are, it needs to come back to idealizing your lean body mass. Your bioimpedance testing, that's the same thing. Why? Remember what I said earlier on, because the bioimpedance test is the number one biomarker studied. It is the most predictive test for morbidity and mortality that there is in human beings. Now let's talk about omega-3 fats and weight loss. Now, before I do that, you all know omega-3 fats have been seriously well studied. There's different types of omega-3 fats. I tend to use krill oil, but if someone has a neurologic issue and or a memory issue, or they don't tolerate capsules too well, and listen up, and if I want to get a much larger dose of omega-3 fats into a person more easily, it's just best to give a liquid in the form of DHA oil. Not DHEA, that's adrenal hormone, but DHA, DHA oil. If you take a tablespoon of that, that's the equivalent of taking several capsules. And when most people take several capsules of an oil, they definitely have regurge and heartburn. So that we don't want that. So if you need a tinier amount of oil, like my Krill Complete, then I used capsules. But if you need more, if you have cardiovascular issues, if you have high cholesterol, if you have pro-inflammatory issues, if you have a neurologic problem, the hormonal imbalance, I'm going to use DHA oil. The thing about omega-3 oils is that they become incorporated into your body's fat cells. And simply put, it makes it easier for your body to burn off those fat cells when they have a higher concentration of omega-3 oils. Now, what's very interesting is that virtually every cell in the body has a lipid membrane around it. And that membrane's stability and health and function is largely dependent on omega-3 oils, which are anti-inflammatory oils. Now, I keep talking about lean body mass. Lean body mass testing measures body mass index. And body mass index is a calculated number which is figured out from a person's weight and height. And it's used by conscientious healthcare providers, and I'd like to think of myself as one of those, as a screening tool for weight problems and disease. And there's a good amount of research that shows that the lower body levels of omega-3 fats are associated with higher body mass index results, meaning that if you improve your omega-3 levels, you reduce your risk of having weight problems. Now, you can easily get a body mass index calculation done on the computer, but the problem is that that sort of superficial assessment does not discriminate. It's just not able to discriminate between the percentages of fat on the body. And the percentages tell us the dose of the supplements. But in general, I like a person to be on between 1 and 6 grams of omega-3 oils per day. So 1 gram equals 1,000 milligrams. That's just the general range that I find give me the best results. Now, the thing about omega-3 fats is that low levels tend to be associated with accumulation of belly fat in particular. In fact, higher levels of omega-3 fats reduce your belly fat because they decrease the size of the fat cells. So if you want to manage very well your body mass, your percentage of muscle, water, and fat, and belly fat, you need to be on omega-3 fats. You can't just eat them in the diet. And what's so impressive about omega-3 oil supplementation is that it's not only effective for promoting weight loss, but also fat loss in the belly. Now, as I've said before at some of the other supplements I've talked about, MCTs and raspberry ketones, is that when you add more omega-3s along with exercise, you get serious fat boosting potential. You know, I'm reminded of there was a short 3-week clinical trial where people took just under 3 grams of omega-3s every day. I think it was 2.8 grams, if I remember right. And along with the proper high nutrition calorie restriction and regular exercise, they experienced about 3.3, I think, pounds greater weight loss compared to people who took like a placebo omega-3 fat pill. So you know now that if you supplement omega-3 fats and you can improve your body composition, and if you combine it with the proper type of caloric restriction and exercise, you will further accelerate a very effective weight loss process. So how do omega-3 fats affect metabolism and overweight and obesity? Let me summarize it for you. Basically, they contribute to improve body composition. I've said that a few times, by increasing your metabolic rate and your fat burning potential. And omega-3s also, and medium chain triglycerides do this too, they seem to suppress appetite, which of course leads to consumption of fewer calories. You know, what's so amazing to me, and you know this, that for years, decades, forever, the overweight, excessive body fat was thought to just be a simple storage space problem for, you know, resulting from extra calories. But overwhelming evidence, particularly I would say in the last, you know, strong 10 years or so, I has revealed, at least to me, that excessive body fat are from sources like inflammation and insulin resistance and high triglycerides and some other reasons. So we now know that if we increase our intake of anti-inflammatory nutrition like omega-3s, that's going to help attenuate many of the causes of excessive fat. Again, improving insulin functionality, reducing inflammation, those sorts of things. And the only contraindication or reason why I would not recommend omega-3s for someone is if, again, they had not been on omega-3s before and they're on blood-thinning medications. Because if you're on blood-thinning medications and you take omega-3s, you have the potential of bleeding too much. Okay, now we're up to the very last supplement that I'd like to focus on today that, again, is not an answer, I should say, for weight loss and weight maintenance. I just think if added appropriately to the diet, a proper diet and exercise might provide a few significant percentage points of fat burning effects. And we're talking about an herb called Phaseolus vulgaris. There are a couple of different pronunciations of it, but Phaseolus vulgaris is from the white kidney bean. So what I've done is I've combined 1,000 milligrams into 2 capsules in a product called Starch Blocker. Now, let me first tell you about this because it's super, super interesting. So the kidney bean seems to promote weight loss because it acts as a starch blocker. So that means it inhibits starch-blocking enzymes, or the enzyme, the major starch digestive enzyme called amylase, which otherwise turns the starch you eat into sugar, which you absorb. And we know we don't want that. And there have been a half a dozen or so really good or reasonable clinical trials on the white kidney bean, where they provided between 445 milligrams to about 1,500 milligrams in that range. And what was found was a statistically significant reduction in body fat overall. It was about 4 pounds when it was compared to placebo. Now, I want to point out that I don't think that the studies on Phaseolus vulgaris are perfect by any means, because some of them added other herbs, some of them, of course, dealt with diet as well. But overall, I believe in my personal experience that I've seen a trend towards better weight loss and improved body composition with the addition of, on average, between 1,000 and 2,000 milligrams of Phaseolus vulgaris daily. Because it's from the white kidney bean, it's food. So it should be taken with food. But again, I don't find any difference if it's taken away from food. You know, when it comes to practical use of nutrients, it may be true that certain nutrients might be better used when they're taken with foods, and other nutrients may be better, may have better effects, that is, but if you take them away from foods. But I don't know about you, but I cannot manage that throughout the course of my day. I can't get it perfect every time. So I would just let that go. You're still going to get effects. They may not be perfect effects, but they also might be. And I found that a person does not have to be 100% compliant to get benefits, particularly when you're combining several nutritional synergists at once, where you're not just using one thing. If you're relying on one thing, if you're only taking MCT oils, if you're only taking Phaseolus vulgaris, you know, or keto raspberries, that's different, and I don't recommend that. Whenever we're dealing with weight maintenance and weight loss, at least in my world, the blood detective world, we're always thinking about health first. We want weight loss and healthy weight maintenance as a side effect of our efforts. Too many people I've seen focus on weight loss as a primary concern, and they lose lean body mass if they had any idea the effect that that could have on their longevity and the quality of their lives. I am not so sure they would continue to do it. Well, on the other hand, people do silly things sometimes. So in summary, folks, we've talked about Phaseolus vulgaris at between 1 and 2,000 milligrams per day. I have that in my starch blocker product. And then the use of ketogenic medium-chain triglycerides, or MCTs, that I prefer to use in an oil, starting at 1 tablespoon per day, away from foods if possible. And also omega-3 fats. I'll tend to use either my Krill Complete, which is 1,000 milligrams per 2 soft gels. Or I'll recommend for people who are overweight by 10 pounds or more, my DHA liquid, because a tablespoon of that gives many grams of that very important omega-3, which also has effects upon the central nervous system for any sort of central nervous system type issues. And then I talked about Keto Raspberry Supreme, which is a product that contains 300 milligrams per 2 capsules of raspberry ketones in the powder form, along with a synergistic combination of green tea leaf. And I prefer a 50% extract at 200 milligrams. I've already put that together for you. And then Superbugs or the probiotic formula, where a single capsule contains 100 billion CFUs. That's, again, the unit of measurement. And it has the four types, my top four picks of acidophilus organisms, along with two forms of bifidobacteria, synergistic microorganisms. And you all know, because you've heard it before, all of the other potential health effects of these types of nutrients elsewhere in the body, not just for this whole weight dynamic we're talking about today. So thank you so much for joining me in this, I think, very important discussion of weight maintenance and improvement in lean body mass. The next show, you're really going to want to hear. We're going to talk about the dangers of medications. I'm going to talk about the statistics and incidences of adverse drug reactions, how drugs, medications are used in the body very, very differently in older adults as opposed to younger adults, as opposed to teenagers and children, and about how medicine tends to forget the differences in drug use. Also, you know, infants as well. The drug use is different, and how most medications used in adults that are given to children are not even studied. As much as a third of medications recommended to children have not been studied in children. What's interesting about the proper use of medications, we're going to talk about that too, is that the proper use of medications also is very similar to the proper use of nutrients. So I'll also leave you with this thought. It's my personal belief that the majority of medical physicians are extremely well-intentioned and caring, and the tools at their disposal are primarily medications. We all know that. I will also go so far to say as that there are times when medications may be the appropriate thing. Now, there are some of you out there that have made a decision, and it's a valid decision. If this is your thought-out decision, that you do not want medication. I would have to say that most people, certainly the majority of people that come to see me, are wanting to get off their medications if possible, or to avoid beginning medications in the first place, or they want to reduce or offset the side effects that they're either experiencing right now with their medications or that they're concerned might plague them later. I mean, when you look at the physician's desk reference, which is the big sort of Bible of drug descriptions, 2/3 of that 6-inch book are all side effects that are known, which means they're called intentional side effects. What about the unintentional ones? And you know, the statistics on adverse drug reactions are alarming. They are frightening. And the governmental statistics on adverse drug reactions from prescribed drugs, even the drugs prescribed correctly in terms of the medical model, you know, these are the criteria that a physician uses when he or she decides to recommend a drug, even when it's done correctly, there is a large percentage of adverse drug reactions and death from drugs, even when they're used according to the physician's desk reference and the best clinical judgment of a well-intentioned physician. So we're going to talk all about that and some practical ways of avoiding drug dangers. So please do join me, Dr. Michael Wald, on Ask the Blood Detective for the next show. For those of you who keep asking me through email here and messaging me as the show's going on, how do we meet? Would you like to work with me? Well, that's great. Call me at 914-242-8844. Go to my website at www.integratednutritionny.com. Look at my blog section. All the radio shows are there. Watch my videos if you like. Send me your questions to my personal email, which is info@blooddetective.com. Thank you so much for the show ideas. So you got to keep those coming. I want you to hear what it is you want, not what I think you need. So please just keep telling me that. So again, my number is 914-242-8844. Let me know your show topics, and thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. Have a great day. Too late. All the sooner.